Amen.
There's something remarkable about the determination and drive of someone willing to push their body to the absolute limits in order to achieve a certain goal. A few weeks ago, the Giro d'Italia was in town. It's only in Northern Ireland for 2 or 3 days, but it did carry on for another 3 weeks or so in Italy, climbing mountains, encountering not only blistering heats, but also brutally cold conditions, totalling over 2,000 miles. 2,000 miles on a bike. An incredible competition of endurance and perseverance. How do they do it? Well, for many, it's the prospect of winning, isn't it? The prospect of standing on the podium, spraying the champagne, wearing the pink jersey. And there are many, many other people who endure great, great hardships and tests, whether it be in sport or in the workplace or in the general life. What is it that so often drives them, keeps them going? Well, for many, isn't it this prospect of winning? First place, promotion, recognition perhaps, the prospect of a reward. Rewards can have a remarkably motivating influence over us. Over our communion season, we've been considering Abraham, how he faced an enormous test. We thought about that specifically on Wednesday evening, the test of faith in verses 1 and 2. How Abraham was asked by God to take his one and only beloved son and sacrifice him on top of a mountain. What a severe, painful test that was. Then we saw this morning in verses 3 to 13 the response in faith, how Abraham responded to this test. We thought about his exemplary faith, how he responded with instant, unquestioning obedience. Early in the morning he got up, started making the preparations. How he had wonderful confidence that God would keep his promises. He said to his servants, "We will go up to the mountain and we will come back from there." We thought about how he spoke in a truly prophetic way when he responded to his son Isaac, that God himself would provide the lamb for the offering. We want to consider then this evening from verses 24, from verse 24 to 20, 14 to 24, the reward for faith, the reward that came Abraham's way. Not that Abraham was motivated by this reward. Not that he was driven by what might lie ahead of him. Remember, he didn't even know this was a test. But this has been recorded for us, for our blessing and our encouragement. Remember who this book was originally designed for, the first readers, the Israelites. They were facing a great test of faith themselves, the wilderness wanderings. They needed encouragement. And this is a passage with great encouragement. In these verses, verses 14 to 24, God reminds his people of the blessings that come their way. He reminds them of the reward for faith. Because, friends, all this testing, it was meant to be a means of great blessing to Abraham. In the same way, the tests and the trials that come our way, they also bring with them great blessing. We want to consider this evening three aspects of this reward for faith. Firstly, a greater revelation of God's person. Verse 14, a greater revelation of God's person. Now, Abraham already knew quite a bit about who God was. God had revealed a great deal to Abraham by this point. But what we see is that this trial, this test, deepened Abraham's understanding of God. It revealed to Abraham something new and something, it gave him a greater insight into who God was. We see it in two ways, I think. Firstly, he was given a clearer view of Christ. He was given a clearer view of Christ. For this, we turn to something Jesus himself said. We read from it earlier, John chapter 8, verse 56. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham saw the day of Christ, Jesus is saying. I think our Saviour is referring to this incident in Genesis 22. Surely no other experience in Abraham's life would make the person and work of Christ more evident. He might have seen him at other times, but surely on top of Mount Moriah, when his own son is on the wood and his own hand is raised to kill his own son, Abraham must have seen by faith something of the Son of God and the uplifted hand of the Father offering the great sacrifice. When he took the ram from the thicket, saving the life of his son, how he must have seen something of the idea of a substitute, the great substitute who died that men and women and boys and girls might live. So surely it's in this event that Abraham was able to look ahead and see something of how God would provide salvation in the one to come. He's given a clearer view of Christ. He's also given a clearer view of God. A clearer view of God. And this is especially in verse 14 of the chapter. Verse 14, it tells us how Abraham responded to this whole episode and what he named the place. Verse 14, so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." A new name is given to that place. The Lord will provide. God is revealing himself to Abraham by a new name. Jehovah Jireh. Literally, God sees and provides. Probably alluding to Abraham's words to Isaac, in verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb. Abraham is given this greater revelation of who God is. He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Do we get the point, friends? Abraham receives these great blessings, growing in his faith. He's this sight of Christ. He's this sight of the Lord. The Lord will provide. Grasping more of what his God is like. He's becoming closer to God. He's knowing more about God. What is it that brings these things about? It's a time of testing. It's a time of testing that brings this insight, this great blessing. It's after a time of testing that God rewards Abraham with himself. Isn't that true for us, friends? Doesn't God reward us with himself after enduring a time of testing? It's often testing that drives us to our knees in prayer, isn't it? It's testing that drives us to God's word for help. It's testing that brings us into the sweetest fellowship with our Saviour. If you want to make a pool capable of holding more water, you dig it down deeper, don't you? Many a man and woman has been dug down deep by the trials of testing. As we see from Abraham, the digging down deep of testing enables us to hold more of God's grace. And the more a person endures testing, the more they become capable of entering into fellowship with their Saviour in his sufferings. Really, we see from Abraham, the testing of our faith does marvelous things for us. He's given us greater revelation of who God is. Times of testing, they often prove to be times of growth in the lives of believers. A greater revelation of God's person. Then in verses 15 to 19, we see a greater assurance of God's promises. A greater assurance of God's promises in verses 15 to 19. In these verses, the angel of the Lord calls out to Abraham again. While the ram is still burning, God sends this gracious message. And we shouldn't underestimate the significance of these words for Abraham. Abraham needs to hear these words because in this section, God is repeating his promised blessings. The very promises Abraham must have wondered about, God is repeating for Abraham again. These are promises he has received before. Promises that he has received all along. Yet, here that they're expanded for us. Verse 17, God says, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring. Maybe better translated, in blessing I will bless, in multiplying I will multiply. This is emphatic here. God's promising this wonderful blessing of prosperity, the blessing also of an eternal dwelling place, the blessing of victory through a seed, the blessing of blessing itself. Abraham's receiving every assurance from God. These promises, they will come about, Abraham. Every blessing of God is going to be kept through Abraham's offspring. All the promises through his seed. And these promises, they are sure and certain. And to make them even more sure and certain, to make them doubly sure and certain, in verse 16, notice the promises are intensified with a very solemn oath. In verse 16, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. I swear this by myself. Abraham. Very unusual for God to say something like that. These things, they had already been said and sealed before to Abraham. Now they are sworn to him. The writer to the Hebrews picks this up in Hebrews 6, verses 13 to 14. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. God swears by himself. He says, Abraham, these promises, they are yours because of me. This is the greatest reassurance that Abraham could ever have. The blessings are his. Because God himself swears them. Abraham's supreme act of obedience draws forth God's supreme assurance of blessing. So can you see, friends, this reward for Abraham's obedience. He's receiving total assurance of God's promises to him. And don't think this is a unique experience for someone like Abraham just to have. No, we've been seeing all along in our travels with Abraham how God deals with Abraham is the pattern of how he deals with all of his children. And so perhaps you're here this evening and you lack assurance and you struggle to know in your heart of hearts God's promises are true for you and you have doubts. Maybe even this evening, on the evening of thinking about the Lord's Supper this morning, Satan is bringing those doubts this evening and you struggle knowing for sure God's promises are for you. Well, friend, if you've said sorry for all your sin, and if you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and to rule over you, God's promises are true for you. But if you still lack assurance of these promises, look at Abraham. Obey God and keep on obeying him. No matter what the cost might be, and he gives the greatest assurance to those who obey him most fully. And after you endure your test, which may last a long time, you will receive similar assurance as Abraham does here. God's river, which is full of water, will burst its banks and pour a tide of grace upon you. So we see then this second aspect of this reward to Abraham, a greater assurance of God's promises. We've had the greater revelation of God's person, the greater assurance of God's promises. Thirdly, a greater guarantee of God's provision. A greater guarantee of God's provision. And this, we're looking really, this is verses 20 to 24. A greater guarantee of God's provision. This last section of the chapter seems a rather disconnected passage to what has gone before. It's some hard to pronounce names for us. What's happening here? The writer is breaking into details of Abraham's family back in Haran. And I think the great significance of this passage is the name Rebekah that appears for us in verse 23. We're going to see in a couple of weeks' time how she was God's provision for a wife for Isaac. God's reminding Abraham, your future, it's secure. Abraham may have been wondering at this point where he would find a wife for Isaac, so that his son might not be absorbed into the Canaanite culture. God's already taken care of this. Rebekah is already on the scenes. The future is taken care of. When we obey God fully, friends, we can trust that he is looking further ahead than what we are. He's already taking care not only of our future needs, but also the needs of our children. And what we'll see next week, God willing, we're going to see that how Abraham's trial, his test on Mount Moriah, how that prepared him for the more immediate future. Next week, we're going to be thinking about death specifically. In chapter 23, it deals with the death of Sarah. In many ways, God used the test on Moriah to prepare Abraham for the death of Sarah. God's tests, they're often preparatory for greater things that lie ahead. And so as Abraham would have been coming down from Mount Moriah, what is it that he needs to know as he steps into the unknown? What is it he needs to help him face the tests that will come his way? What is it, friends, that you and I need as we leave the Lord's table in many respects this evening, as we enter back into the world tomorrow, back into the workplace? What is it that we need to help us face the tests that will come our way? It's the knowledge that God will provide. God will provide. Abraham has seen that in a most remarkable way. He has witnessed wonderful, breathtaking provision. And Abraham knows, if God provided for me in that greatest of tests, how will he not also provide for me in every test that follows? The provision on Mount Moriah is a provision that guarantees all other provision. Now, what about us, friends? Well, has God not provided in an altogether much more wonderful way for us? He himself has provided the Lamb. We thought about Jesus Christ this morning, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. Does not that greatest, the greatest of all provisions at Calvary, is that not a guarantee of every other provision? Isn't that what Paul picks up, Romans 8, verse 32? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That provision on Calvary is a guarantee of every future provision that we need. He's not withheld from us his only beloved Son. Through Christ we have everything we need. We have every spiritual blessing. We have everything we need for life and for godliness. If we've been provided with Christ, can we not also be totally sure that he will provide us for all things? Now, he may test us before the provision comes. We may have to climb the mountain of testing before we find that provision. But he will provide. It might be a while before we see the ram in the thicket, but we will afterwards bless God for his abundant provision. This guarantee here of God's provision. What wonderful blessings Abraham receives as reward for his faith. This greater revelation of who God is, this greater assurance of the promises, and this greater guarantee of God's provision. But I want to close this evening with two things by way of application. The first is this: look at where the blessings come. Look at where they come. Just think. Abraham would never have experienced these blessings if he stayed at home. Abraham would never have experienced these commands, these blessings, if he was disobedient to God's command. He would never have experienced them if he had crumbled at the first sign of this test. He would never have experienced these things without climbing Mount Moriah. It's in a place of testing, sacrifice and commitment that Abraham finds these blessings. Isn't that what you find? Isn't that what I find? God brings us to our Mount Moriah. For you, it could be a daily test, a painful test, a devastating, life-changing test, something that comes in the providence of God. And what have we found to be the case? That Mount Moriah is the place where God blesses and provides for his people. Abraham gets to where God wants him to be, and it's there that he finds the blessing and provision. And I wonder, friends, could it be that our spiritual eyes aren't what they ought to be? Could it be that we don't experience the blessings that are there for us because we haven't stepped out in faith, because we're so comfortable in our comfort zones, and we've rarely stepped out in faithful obedience to the call of God? Could it be that because we have shirked those Mount Moriahs, we have missed out on so much blessing? It's when we go to the region of Moriah that we will find God will truly provide for us. Look at where this blessing comes. The last thing then, look at when the blessing comes. Look at when the blessing comes. When is it that God steps in and provides? When is it that a voice from heaven intervenes and halts Abraham's hand? It's not after a few moments of testing. It's not after the first day of the journey. It's not even after the second day of testing. It's not even at the foot of Moriah. No. God lets Abraham go right up to the last possible moment. Another split second and Isaac would have been dead. It was in Abraham's extreme need that the provision of God came. The last possible moment. Isn't there another lesson for us here? We often panic about the provision of God. And our panic very often is because we haven't waited long enough. His provision will come. I think that's a great lesson for us in the church. So easily in our work for King Jesus, we're tempted to stop short. We're tempted to think, well, oh well, there hasn't been much fruit. We're tempted to stop praying and to stop pleading with him. We stop too early and we miss the blessings of God. What have we learned these past days? Is it not that God will provide? Jehovah Jireh, he will provide. Some of you this evening, you climb Mount Moriah very often. If Abraham were here, he would say to you, he won't let you down. Jehovah's timing is absolutely perfect. He will provide. Think of his provision for you at the cross. You can look on that and you can say, if he did that for me, surely he will do everything else. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?